Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Are you guys excited about this time of year? I believe, again, I said just this past Sunday when I was preaching to you or speaking to you, the effects of this time, what it does to the hearts of people, what it does to the lives of people, even the unspiritual become spiritual during these times. I mentioned to the church last week, you were here, you'll remember that those that never come to church will come to church. Those who have really ignored the relationship between heaven and earth all the year, somehow Christmas comes to establish a certain sense of religiosity, if you will, something, some connection between the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody out is in festive mood and mode. Everybody is out, I don't know, there may be a lot of things contributing to that. Maybe it's the time and the extra week off from the rigorous routine of work for all of us. And for others, other reasons, maybe because you're having family come over to fellowship with you and to celebrate with you all the good food that I'm sure you're going to be enjoying. And trust me, along with this wonderful talent that we have here on this pulpit, man, we have wonderful cooks here in the house of the Lord. Our ladies are absolutely exceptional. Us men can attest to that. Can you say amen? Every fellowship that we've had that they've prepared, oh my goodness. So don't look at me if I'm a little more blessed than many of you. I love their food. I promise you, they have blessed us in more than one way. Just too many times, I guess, and I can bear witness to that. But it's awesome. This time sets us in a perfect mood to be happy. Everybody should be happy. Again, joy may come from different places in the lives of people who don't have a relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ this morning, we want to invite you to the greatest gift of all, and that's to receive this Jesus that was born 2,000 plus years ago for the saving of our souls. Because I was thinking, I didn't think for the moment that I was going to speak, then I found out that I did have a few minutes, and a few minutes is a dangerous thing for me because you know I'm pretty long-winded. But this morning, if I can, if you'll just be patient, just a few more minutes, I'd like to share something that just came to my heart concerning Christmas. Again, I say to you, there's a lot of things that we gain from this time, all the way from rest from our work, the gifts that all the expensive gifts our ladies are going to get from their husbands. Am I killing the crowd? I thought all the ladies would say, yes, amen. All the hairdos and the nails and the new dresses and everything that you guys are going to get. That's a wonderful thing. But everything that we gain from this time, from the simplest thing of having time off to the most awesome meal that mom always prepares at the end of the year, this festive meal that is always this special recipe. And I was thinking to myself just this past couple of days, if you will, of the lessons and the things that we could learn that we should always be reminded of during this time in Christmas. Very important key truths that I believe will set us up for a new journey this coming year should Jesus tarry. If Jesus tarries another year, you and I will be standing up here. I pray that all of us are serving the Lord and still waiting for his return. But if he waits and he tarries and does not come to rapture us, we're going to need these truths in our lives to carry us through. And so this is what I want to share in this simple devotional this morning. What truths and what should I learn this Christmas? That is, what should I remember? If there's anything that could be imprinted in our hearts during this time, what should be the loudest things? Number one is that God is with us. Isn't that beautiful to say? God is with us. One of the first and greatest truths that Christmas could ever show us is that the Lord is with us. He is here amongst us. As John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. It used to be in the Old Testament that people used to go out and search for God. We have the time when the Lord ordered Moses to build that temple. Solomon, remember again the tent of meeting, all these places that God established so that men, His nation, His people would go out to meet with Him. It would be Moses on Mount Moriah or Sinai that he would go and meet with God to receive the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And so people used to go out to pursue. But today there is no traveling to God. There is no need to take a journey to find the Lord. There is no trip that you have to plan for in order for us to go meet with God. God is with us today. And this is very encouraging for us. We should learn this in our hearts this coming year. Again, I say, if Jesus tarries. Because it's going to carry you through the highs and peaks of life as well as through the valleys. To know that you're never been uncared for. That God is not indifferent toward us. Must remember that at Christmas time, it was when God came to pursue us. He sent His Son to come to mingle with us, to find us. The Bible says He came to seek those of us who were lost. And how many were lost before Jesus? Come on, let's be honest. How many of us were really lost before Jesus? So aren't you glad that Jesus came? Aren't you glad that in the midst of all this mess, aren't you glad that in the midst of this fallen world, the Lord would send His precious Holy Son to come and find us out, to come and make a home amongst us? Matthew 1:23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to the son and they will call him Emmanuel. Say with me, Emmanuel. What does that mean translated? It means God is with us. So come what may this coming year, come what may this afternoon, come what may this next few minutes, come what may the next 10 years should Jesus tarry, God is with us. We should always pray and say, Lord, thank you for the promise to never leave us or abandon us. And even in the times of our temptation and our trial and troubles in life, there is no doubt in our heart that you, because of Christmas morn, you are with us. Secondly, God has not forgotten us. That's refreshing to know. That's something you need to write somewhere. In your Bible, on the refrigerator, at your end table, in your bedroom, to always remember that God is not unconscious or unknowing of where you are at in your life. You know, something that we seldom talk about and teach about is the time span between the Old and the New Testament. They call those the silent years. Now we know that from the book of Malachi, before, we saw wondrous things done by God. God would really intermingle with the people. All the way from blessing to correction. From the very first book in Genesis, the very first chapter, we see God moving and doing extraordinary things in the lives of not only families or individuals, but nations altogether. But at the end of the words of Malachi, to the first words of Matthew, there is a span of time. 4 centuries had passed when nothing exceptional, extraordinary, or obviously to God worth writing about to tell us. It was a silent time. We are told that between Malachi and Matthew, it was written about 440 or 400 years before the book of Matthew or the coming of Christ. So I imagine these people being just like you and me. When things take a long time or a person takes a long time to respond, you automatically have an inclination to think, They forgot about me. This is exactly what happened in the times of Moses when he went to go get the law of the Lord up in Mount Sinai. It was 40 days. And the people said, where is this guy? They got impatient. I continually teach you that impatience is the friend of no one. You know the mistakes they made as they were anxious waiting for Moses. But it was a long time, and people get anxious when there is no answer. Sometimes you'll call your son or your daughter somewhere in the evening and they never answer, and it seems like forever. It'll take a couple of hours before they respond, and you begin to imagine things. Where are they? What's going on? What happened? And for these people, this during this time, this silent moment, I think it would be common and a classical thing to expect that many of them, as in the times of the Apostle Peter, who would say, where is this God? Where are all the promises that he said he would provide for us? Well, it would be 400 years later that the Lord, the silence of heaven, would be broken. And the Lord would send his son. In the Bible, and every word, those who believed, every word they said, they always spoke of the Lord as a God of remembrance. We have in Scripture, in Luke chapter 1, something we call a Mary song. And it reads as follows in Luke 1 and 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. His holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in the innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering. God is not a forgetful God. Mary says he remembered, but when he speaks of remembering his mercy and his covenant and promises, it's not as if God had to be called his attention to it and say, hey, remember you said, oh, you're right. I did say. That's not what the scripture teaches us, and that's not what this particular word means, as if someone you have to spur to remember because of their forgetfulness. But when Mary said he remembered me, what she is saying is that at that moment, it was God's perfect timing, because God is a God of perfect timing. There is a saying that we like to say, that God may not come when you want him to, but he will come when you need him. Amen? And so I say to you, the Lord may not come when you want him to, but when his watch, which is a perfect watch, sets it right, he will come and fulfill what he has promised. Amen? So it's not as if he remembered something he forgot, but the time was perfect. And 400 years later, it was perfect for him on this day to come and fulfill his remaining promises. The Lord has not forgotten any one of us, ladies and gentlemen. This is something you need to learn, and this is something you need to remember this coming year, should Jesus tarry, that the Lord is always mindful of you. Don't ever think for a moment because God tarries and holds back on his response, he's somehow got busy with something else or somewhere else around the world, that he has forgotten where you're at. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 49, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if it were possible, he said, even if a mother could forget her child, he said, I would not forget you. Isn't that beautiful? I would not forget you. See, he says, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. So God, this many years ago, came to teach us and to remind us, because we do forget, that he is not forgetful of us. He promised us to never leave us or abandon us and leave us as orphans. But he did say, I will come to you. And ladies and gentlemen, let this Christmas remind you throughout this coming year that God is always aware where you're at. He's never forgotten a single promise he has given you. What he is waiting is for his perfect time to fulfill what he said. Thirdly, this morning, God understands you and me. I promise you, that is one of the biggest cries of people. You hear it from the youngest to the oldest. Nobody understands me. Nobody gets where I'm at. Nobody understands. I'm so misunderstood. But we are told that on this day, on the day where Christ was born, God sent his son in the form of man, someone just like you and I. In this world of brokenness and sin and suffering, he came to mingle with us. Last week I gave you the illustration of the man who had that heated farm, the barn, and the freezing birds would not understand his language, and how he wished in his heart to make them understand, to get away from the blizzard and the cold, the killing and chilling cold outside, that he would become a bird himself to be able to speak their language to lead them to safety. Well, that's exactly what Christ did. You see, in the Old Testament, a lot of people had trouble understanding the Word of God. This is why God had to speak to one man, and that man would speak the language of men. But nobody would understand. That's why they called out to the priests and to the prophets of the time, tell us what God is saying. We don't understand. All the way even through the New Testament, when Jesus was barely getting into his ministry full throw, people didn't understand. But that's why Jesus came, to speak our language, to understand where we're at. He came in the form of man to feel just like you and I, to experience the things that we go through, therefore making him that perfect God that will always tell you, though no one else will, he said, I get where you're at. I understand. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews 4 and 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may rejoice and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isaiah said of him, he will be a man of many sorrows. He's going to understand where you're at. He understands your pain. He understands your hurts. When you're being tempted, when you're having troubles in your life, if you'll speak to him, he'll never say, what? What exactly are you trying to say? No, he'll always say, I understand. And that's a beautiful thing, because we'll go through many things this coming year. Every one of us, should Jesus give us a few more weeks, a few more months, a few more years, we're going to go through things. They may want to come and bring confusion, and you may feel lost. You'll have no one to talk to or no one who seems to understand, but you'll always be able to come to the Lord, and he will understand where you're at. Isn't that beautiful about our Savior this morning? And he invites us, yes. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. God understands, and we can thank and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because I'm reminded and I learned this Christmas that you understand me. That I go through my things that maybe nobody else, my husband, my wife, my children, my friends, no one seems to understand. I'm having to find someone in therapy to understand what I'm saying. Let me tell you, the Lord is the perfect therapist. He will not only counsel you, but he will heal you. Come on, somebody give him praise this morning. He will not only just simply counsel you and comfort you, but he will heal you. He'll give you direction. Remember Jeremiah saying, I know the plans I have for you. If you don't understand where you're at, ask me. I'll tell you which direction to go. I will lead you right to a good place. Amen. Next, the Lord came to defend us. This Christmas, This is what I learned, and this is what I'm reminded of. This is what God would have us all to remember during this year. If you ask someone why Jesus came, I think there'd be a variety of answers. Well, he came to display his love. Well, the Bible says he came to save the lost. Oh, well, he came to show us the way. Well, he came to preach his kingdom. He came to give us an example, and you can give a variety of reasons which are all correct and biblically sound. But if you read out of the book of John, the epistle of John, he gives us rather an unexpected yet very clear statement as to why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the enemy. Isn't that wonderful to know? We should never forget that. That along with saving us, Jesus came to fight for us. That's a beautiful thing. Immediately after the fall in the garden, God made a promise to mankind. In Genesis chapter 3, he told the serpent, that devil, that from the offspring of Eve would eventually come someone who would crush the head of that serpent. That was a first prophetic word of the coming Savior. That means I'm going to send someone. If you mess with my people now, I'm going to send someone to fight you back and to destroy you. And this many years ago in Bethlehem, in that manger, that Christmas morn, the Lord would fulfill his promise. The very defender of God would be born in a manger. And the devil knew. This is why you have history telling us and the stories in Scripture telling us how the devil wanted to destroy Christ even before he was born. He wanted to display unto Jesus that there was no room for him in his world. How many know that when God makes a promise, he's a promise keeper? Amen. Amen. So if there's someone who hates to think about Christmas, it's Satan himself. He dreaded that day. You see, because unto that day, he could still conquer man. He could still destroy, and destroy many he did. But when Jesus came in, he said, I am their defender. I'm the one that's going to crush your head. I will stand and I will lift up a banner of victory over those that call me Lord. And so today, let this day remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that we're not alone. Jesus came to put that nail in that coffin. And to stand as our defender, like a mighty warrior. Let it remind us that even in this broken world that we live in this darkened, sin-filled world, God is still at work defending us to get us to heaven. Every single one of us. Don't ever give your hope up for heaven. Jesus has a hand on that. He's defending you. As we go through this next day, the next few moments, this next months, just know that whatever trouble you will face, remember Christmas. It was on that day that the Lord sent an arm bearer for you in the form of his son to defend you through any circumstance and situation you may be going through. There may be times that you scrape yourself and hurt yourself a little bit, but I promise you, he will always raise you up in victory. I pray in Jesus' name that if Jesus should tarry another year, every single one of us here would have not strayed away from the Lord, but that we would have trusted in the defender of our souls and continue walking boldly in him. He has come to render the devil powerless. You remember a few weeks ago, the Lord delivered this young lady right here in this pulpit. What other proof do we need? He said, I will defend you. And that's exactly what he did in this young family, in this young lady's life. He defended her. He said, you cannot have her. And I've got news for all of us. God said the devil cannot have us. How many belong to Jesus in this house? Come on, somebody give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. So we can pray and say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. For when I am in a dark place, in a confused place, possibly in a time of need in my life or going through trouble, I know that you're there to defend me, to bring me through. And finally this morning, let Christmas remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that he's coming back once again. He's coming back to renew all of this mess. He's coming back to start us and give us a fresh new start with something brand new. The Advent, ladies and gentlemen, is not, this Christmas time is not only a time to look back. We're looking back 2,000 plus years when Jesus was born. But it's not only a time to look back. It is also a time to look forward. The Israelites were awaiting the coming Messiah. Remember, when they saw Jesus, they were expecting one. But nonetheless, it proves that they were waiting. Some of them were disappointed because he didn't turn out being visually what they thought he should be. But the point is that in their hearts, they were waiting for that deliverer. And with that same anticipation, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us in this place should serve the Lord every day of our lives with anticipation of the return of Christ. The Lord said he would come and he would ratify all things. He would make all things right, all things new. We sing all these carols this morning, Joy to the World. And all of those songs and every hymn that we've sung were all written in light of knowing that Jesus will return. I was reading the words of Joy to the Lord. I'm dyslexic, so you know I don't remember words very well verbatim in my head. So I wrote them down, and it says, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. It speaks to us of an anticipating time when Jesus will come to renew everything for us. He's going to bring us and give us a new name, a new heavens, a new earth. He's going to give us a glorified and new body. He's going to give us a new place to dwell. So this Christmas, it's a good time to look back. But let it be a time that reminds you and teaches you to always look forward. Jesus is coming. He won't be coming in a manger anymore. And there won't be any opposition in this earth that says, don't come. He won't be looking for an inn somewhere where the innkeeper will say, there is no room for you. For the Lord will respond to him, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. I don't need an inn from you. Everything belongs to me. Let it remind you. I pray that this Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, for all of us, would leave us lessons learned and things reminded as we serve the Lord and wait for him. I pray in Jesus' name that because you remember and learn these things, what will be born in your heart is a living hope to live in the light of his glory until we see him once again. I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Thank you for being our family. Thank you for the moments we've laughed this past year. And I know that some of us have cried together. I've seen you guys rejoice, and I've seen some of you hurt so bad. But we're still here. Some of you have traveled with me for years and many Christmases before. You've seen even me go through things that were unexplainable, even times when in my own life I said, Lord, which direction am I going? But I'm glad I know these things. Because it was knowing, having this knowledge of what this time means, what this time teaches us, what this time reminds us, that keeps us going. And this is why all of us are here in this place today. I love you all with everything that we are on behalf of my wife and my children, the pastoral staff, all of our staff here at Rock of Ages. We open our hearts to you. And to the membership and the constituents of this body, we say Merry Christmas and we love you. be blessed today in the name of Jesus. Amen. God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.